When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
I'm going to do my best to not be condescending or dismissive about this topic because this is one of those ones that comes round and round. And there's a temptation to be to respond with, oh, really? But I asked for it. I put out the call. I made a joke and I was just being a little silly and it ruffled some feathers. Nobody was mad at me, but it's just that my joke referred to something that bothers, I think, a lot of us artists. And I think that let me just talk about what the subject is first before I start actually digging at it. Cheating at your art. Oh, when you really think about it, what does that even mean? What does it mean to cheat? Are you getting the story told? Are you telling it in an interesting way? Are you using the proper images or the most effective images possible to convey the meaning? Is the meaning coming across? Then what difference does it make what tools you use to get there? And a lot of people, I'm sure, already agree with me. That's why I started with that. You know, I'll start with like the basic one, the basic big answer to this idea of cheating at your art. But I want to get at where this comes from, and maybe by figuring out why we get so worried about why some people get mad when they think somebody's cheating at their art, and why some people feel a little feel trepidation at doing something that others may perceive as a cheat. And what do I mean by this? Okay, so how did this all start? The other day, I posted some images from some process images of the upcoming front comic I'm working on. And it's the story takes place primarily within this building called MNSA headquarters, the multinational security agency from the first front graphic novel. It's almost the entire story takes place within or around this building. And because of that, there's a lot of reasons why I designed the building the way it looked. I thought, well, since this is going to be, it's a fantasy security agency. It's sort of a high-tech James Bondish kind of place. It should look kind of weird and unique. Also, because I'm going to be using it in a lot of the shots, it should be kind of interesting to look at. Let's not just do a skyscraper. That'd be kind of boring. But once I designed it, I realized this is going to be a bear to do in to lay out the perspective and to do some really nutty angles in perspective. Now, anybody who's read my material, go to thefront.me. That's where I currently have the archives for the front comics. You will see that I do not back down from an interesting perspective challenge. 99% of the perspective work in there was done by hand, with the exception of a couple things like the Ferris wheel on page one of the graphic novel. That was done in a computer-assisted drafting program called Form Z. But everything else was laid out by hand. So it wasn't for laziness's sake that I chose to use Google SketchUp for this building in the new front story. It was expediency's sake. I knew I could do it. It's just that this is going to be a lot faster. This is going to take a lot of the front end off of just getting the story done, getting the story told. The design is mine. I built the model. I really didn't feel like it was cheating. So I used Google SketchUp, which is a free program I'll link to in the show notes for this episode at comicsaregreat.com/TPD146 is where you'll find this if you're just getting this podcatcher. So I built the model of the building in Google SketchUp. This, in my opinion, having used some actual proper computer-assisted drafting programs, I think Google SketchUp is a very intuitive 3D drawing program. I haven't messed around a whole lot with Blender yet. Some people have been pushing me towards Blender. Some of my teenage students love Blender, and they assure me that it's a very easy program to get under the hood of. I just haven't had time, and I already knew the tools of Google SketchUp, having played with it before. So I built this building, put on all the proper details, put it at the angle I needed it to be, exported it as a 2D graphic file, a TIFF file, converted that to non-photo blue. I did a blog post about this on comicsaregreat.com. Actually, I think it's at comicsaregreat.com/SU for SketchUp. Exported it as a, you know, a blue line image, printed it out on Bristol, inked it by hand, rescanned it, and flatted it in color. Now I'm going to do a digital painting of this building that I can use in multiple panels in the story, using some layer effects to make it look different. Again, speeding up the work. Now, when I posted the image of the Google SketchUp building online, just to kind of keep people apprised of, you know, how the progress is going on the book, and also because I was happy with the way the building turned out, I jokingly said, cheating, I'm a cheater, look at me, I cheated. Because this is an argument that goes around every once in a while, and I was being facetious when I did it, when I posted that. I really don't think it's cheating. Some people like to line up and say, like, hey, if you're not doing it the traditional way, the way that all the old masters did their perspective, then it's not fair. You're somehow doing an end run, and you're not learning the proper skills. Anybody who's listened to anything that I've done for any period of time probably knows how I feel about that. I'm the guy who says that you don't need to draw well to make good comics. You just have to understand how to use images properly. And I also say that every comics page presents you with 1,000 choices. You're fighting a lot of battles on a comics page. So to assert that somebody using a tool to help them expedite the work and tell the story effectively is somehow cheating kind of bypasses this whole idea that there's a lot of battles being fought besides illustration on that page. Whether you're close to something or far away from something, that's a storytelling choice. Whether the panel's big or small, what kind of lines you get to use? You get to use crisp, fixed width lines? Are you going to use lines with different values? Are you going to use like a dry brush stroke? Are you going to use something that's more brittle, like a crow quill stroke? Is it going to be colors? Is it going to be black and white? If it's black and white, is it going to be pure black and white? Just black pixels and white pixels, or black ink and white paper? Are there going to be gray tones? If there's gray tones, is it going to be smooth computer gray tones, or is it going to be mechanical tones? And if it's mechanical tones, what kinds of different layers and mechanical tones are you going to use? All to service the ideas that you're trying to deliver. There's a lot to think about when you're making a comic, and there's a lot to think about in every single page. And to prescribe a certain tool set or a certain approach, I think, misses the whole point of what makes comics so interesting and so worth celebrating to me. And why am I even talking about this? Oh, geez, Jerz, are you defending yourself? Are you just trying to make excuses for what you're doing? No, not really. What really inspired the topic for this episode, I grabbed this right away as soon as like the discussion began on Google Plus and on my blog and also on Twitter. People responded in my defense when I called myself a cheater. And again, I was joking. But the fact that they responded that way, we also got another response in one of the places that I mentioned, and I won't say where because, you know, I didn't ask the guy's permission, but he was saying something to the effect of, yeah, like coming from a CGI background, computer graphics, 3D illustration background, he sometimes feels a little hinky about creating assets to repopulate in the stories, like even using like 3D models of characters to ink over top of or to use as a basis for the illustration. Again, I don't see that is any kind of breaking of any kind of rules. And let's face it, rules in art are made to be broken. We should be exploring what we can do with all sorts of different tools to see if there's a whole new ground that can be broken. I know I've gone on record in the past to say that, you know, I get a little itchy when people mention motion comics because I don't think they're comics because they break what I see as a central rule of thumb of comic storytelling in that they are static. But that comes more out of like a nomenclature thing. That's me just saying, hey, look, we comics people are stuck with this really non-descriptive name for our medium. It confuses a lot of normal people, like distant relatives who think that I'm a stand-up comedian when I tell them I'm a comic artist. It has more to do with that than being any kind of purist about what comics are. And even then, we're talking about a medium. I think that One of the problems that comes out of the different kinds of learning styles that we've become accustomed to in the 20th century and in the teaching styles people have employed is that there's a way to do it. This is how the masters did it. This is how Jack Davis did it. This is how Joe Sinnott did it. This is how Steve Ditko did it. And yeah, it's worth looking at. And it's worth looking at what they did and why they did it and how what they got out of that. But those are just some of the ways. Those are not the ways. And that's why I always say that books like How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way is kind of a propaganda book in a way. I'm not disparaging it. There's a lot of really useful information in there. It's just that you have to approach it with the understanding that these guys are talking about the Marvel House style. This is how we did it as of 1985 or something like that, whenever the book was written. So while it's a very useful book, it's called How to Draw the Marvel Way. It's not the way, and there is no the way. Now, I know I'm retreading some stuff that I've talked about on the Lean Into Art cast, but I'm repurposing it here a little bit with just my own voice on it, both for those who don't listen to the Lean Into Art cast, and if you don't, check it out. It's at episode 23. It's the Lean Into Art cast, Leveling Up Through Play, where Rob Stenzinger of interactive-storyteller.com and I kind of riff on this idea of learning through play as a way to address the notion of the time-honored notion of if it's not work, then it's not worth doing. The work must show. The effort must show. And again, listen to the last 11 or so minutes of this, and you know where I stand on that. I disagree. I do think that comics is a lot of work, right? There's a lot of choices, as I said, a lot of battles that we're fighting. And I'm not necessarily advocating being lazy and looking for an easy way to meet those battles. But I do think that there are times and places for what is the battle you're actually going to fight. Now I'll use another example that I've been experiencing or playing with lately. So I just started using Manga Studio, popular comics illustration program that more and more people are switching over to. It's really, I don't have my finger on the pulse of the comics industry or the comic scene worldwide as a whole, but the channels I listen to, it seems like this shift to Manga Studio is as big a shift as the shift to computer coloring in the 90s was, when it's just like one day everything was colored the old-fashioned way on sheets of acetate, and then the next day it's boom, everybody's using computers. And it just seemed like it came out of nowhere, and it seemed like everybody was doing it. And it now all of a sudden all these cartoonists are inking digitally in Manga Studio. Not all of them, you know. I still ink on paper, but it got me curious. It got me thinking about, well, I want to learn this thing. What is so compelling about it that so many people are so excited about it? And I've talked to a couple cartoonists who've explained things to me. It seems to solve a lot of problems that up until now digital applications like Adobe Photoshop or Painter, that's what it's called, and other illustration programs just couldn't meet for some reason. So I got the program, but man, as a guy who's constantly strapped for time, I don't have the time to sit down and, you know, dig into it in any kind of deep and meaningful way. And I'm certainly not going to apply a new tool on any comics that I want to actually publish anyplace or get published someplace. So how am I going to do this? Well, the two things I like to do in order to learn new tools is A, either employ it through freelance illustration. So I got a freelance gig coming up where I'm going to attempt to illustrate it or ink it entirely in Manga Studio. Just that'll be a good training course. But also the daily sketches or warm-up sketches. They're not daily, but warm-up sketches, like, you know, 2-3 times a week that I kind of oscillate back and forth between doing. In the beginning of, I want to say 2009? Maybe it was the beginning of 2010. I can't remember now. I got a brush pen, and I talked about this on a recent Lean Into Art cast as well. And I didn't have time to learn it, and I was really afraid to learn it because I didn't understand how a brush works. It always seemed a little bit too loose and sloppy for my taste, being a guy who inked primarily with Crow quills and rapidographs. So I said, well, let's do a warm-up sketch every day for a while and force yourself to use the brush pen and set yourself a time limit. So what's the battle I'm fighting there? Well, the battle is the brush pen. Therefore, whatever I draw and how whatever pose I choose, whatever subject matter I choose, should be obscenely easy for me to do. I should use a cheat in order to put the battle focus on learning the new tool. So I'm going to draw characters that you know, I will like to draw. You know, it'll be easy for me just to look around the studio and go, oh, Man-at-Arms from He-Man. I'll draw him. He's fun to draw. The pose should be something I know I can pull off. I've drawn it hundreds of times in my comics, so I'm not trying to create a piece of fantastic illustrative beauty. I'm just focusing on my strengths, leaning on my strengths while I take on this one specific battle, i.e. learning the brush. I'm doing the same thing with the Manga Studio inking. So I posted my third sketch as of today at comicsaregreat.com/blog. I did a little sketch of Brawn, a Gen 1 Transformer running at the camera. And with each successive sketch, I'm learning new things about this this tool. So one could easily assert that, well, geez, Jerz, you're not creating sketches that are really worth bookmarking. You're not creating a sketch that I want to make a print out of and put on my wall. No, that's not the point. The point is for me to draw something that's fun for me to draw and learn a little bit more about this new drawing tool as I do it. And I share it just because I like to share the stuff I'm working on. I'm not asking anybody to give me any kind of accolades for it anyway. But one could assert, just as with the Google SketchUp thing, that what I'm doing is a cheat because I'm only focusing on one particular aspect. I'm not trying to create something that is award-winning. I'll save that for my you know, personally owned comic books. That's where I'm going to put 110% of that energy, right? But even then, if you're talking about, I'm looking at a 30-page story that I'm working on. It's anywhere between 6 and 9 panels per page. That's a lot of panels. It's a lot of battles to fight. I chose some fairly ambitious shots for some of these, some ambitious layouts. So already I'm lining up a whole lot of work that's going to have to be done on this. By doing the Google SketchUp version of the building, I'm eliminating one of those battles or diminishing. I'm doing some triage, maybe. There we go. I'm dragging in the casualties and attending to them so that I can also, you know, do some damage control in the situation of getting a story told. But it's funny to me that people still, this fight kind of goes round and round. I suspect that this fight kind of comes out of the fact that there's always new people coming into the medium, and there's people coming into the medium. And when I say new people, I don't just mean kids. I mean, you know, people who are just new to comics. People with different backgrounds, different points of view, and people from different educational backgrounds. And I think that to this day, unfortunately, the notion, this is where I get to lean into art episode, where you can hear a full hour and change about this. I do think that there is sort of an attitude that persists that it has to look like it's been labored over. It's not good unless it looks like it's been labored over. And that's when you get into like the silly arguments that some cartoonists get into that say the oatmeal.com is not a real comic because the guy doesn't know how to draw very well. The artist himself, I forget his name, but the guy who runs the Oatmeal, who makes the comic, he's even admitted that he's new to art. But man, oh man, he's got a lot of traffic on his site. Why is that? Because he's funny. Because he knows how to put the right images together and communicate really interesting ideas that play to what people are angry about. He did an Ignite talk about that very topic, about like how to create a successful website that gets 5 million visits per day or whatever it was. I'll have to look that up in the show notes too. I better write this down. Oatmeal Ignite talk. But, and he said that, you know, part of the secret sauce in his mix is, you know, addressing topics that he knows irritate people, not to try to irritate people, but to sort of get on their side and say, man, isn't this dumb, right? That's what a stand-up comedian does, right? So it has little to do with, like, technical proficiency as an artist. Now, I know it's weird to talk about this because comics are made of drawings. Therefore, they should be, you know, the technical achievements of the artist should be apparent there. But doesn't that depend on the kind of story you're doing too, right? So I think the question we should really be asking, and this is the question we should be putting back at somebody who approaches us to say, well, that's a cheat, is to say, well, what kind of story are we telling here? What's the important thing to really worry about when telling this kind of story? Is it a noir story? Is it a comedy story? Is it a drama? You can take it to television and say, look at Downton Abbey and look at the kind of lighting and the costuming and the set pieces that appear in that series. Those are all important elements to convey the kind of story, a period drama, right? And man, watch the lighting, what they do in there. They do some really, if you watch that show, go back, or when you're watching new episodes, really try to pay attention to what they do with lighting. It's really interesting. I was watching the 2-hour finale of this season, I think is what, it was a 2-hour episode at any rate. And right after something really terrible happens in the story, it shows a character walking through a hall and everything's lit in like this grayish blue light. You know, it's daytime, but I can't help but think that that was an intentional choice. But then if you take something else, like say, you know, a Sesame Street, where it's Cookie Monster teaching you about the letter C, do you need a whole lot there? No, you don't need a whole lot there. And that, again, it's not about laziness. It's about what is absolutely necessary in order to communicate the tone, feeling, plot, character, emotion, drama, etc. Those are the battles we should be fighting, not necessarily technical precision in art. That's important too. But that comes with time. And also, I think whatever technology you can use to get you there is ultimately a good thing. To look at Google SketchUp or any digital tool like inking in Manga Studio with those crazy perspective tools they have, to look at that as being somehow a crutch, is that really that much different than saying a ruler is a crutch? Man, you can't draw a straight line without a ruler. You have to lean on that ruler in order to get a straight line. So I guess what this essay is really about is kind of being an affirmation for anybody who has felt a little trepidation about employing quote-unquote cheats, because I really don't think there are cheats. I think there's effective storytelling and ineffective storytelling, and I think that's really what we always should be focused on first and foremost. And the technical precision and technical achievements will come with time. But to that end, it's been proven time and time again that you don't need technical precision or technical complexity in the work in order to create a great work. So there we are. So who am I? I'm Jersey Drozd. Comicsaregreat.com, Jersey on Twitter. Thanks so much for listening to this thing. Again, the show notes will be available at comicsaregreat.com/TPD146, where you can get the links to the things I talked about today. If you guys have any thoughts on this whole cheating thing, I'm guessing that everybody's going to give me, or for most part, everybody's going to say, heck yeah. Might get a few dissenters in there who say, yeah, but, well, that's what the comments thread is for. Music for the show is created by my brother, Elliot Drozd, E-L-I-O-T-T, Drozd.com. Still leaning on the guy to get some music out there for people to enjoy. He's a great musician. I just, for some reason, putting it on the internet, it's a slow-going battle. Voiceover for this episode is provided by Tara Platt of TaraPlatt.com, famous cartoon voice actor. She's also doing a web series right now. You can follow her at Tara Platt on the Twitters to find out more about that. Great actress, great voice actor, and I worked on a book that she wrote. The hosting for this episode was provided by Kablam, KABLAM.com. Check this out, Indie Planet Digital, IndiePlanetDigital.com. So, I've always said in the little pre-rolls of the Comics Are Great shows that Kablam is your one-stop solution for independent comics publishers. They just got even more one-stop because now you can submit your files to them, get them printed. Print the books up, print up one or print up 100 to take the shows. You know, it's print on demand, so you can print as few as one or as many as 100 or more for that matter. You can sell them in the Indie Planet store, digital fulfillment store, so people can order your books right from there. They do the fulfillment and then they just ship the books and give you your cut of the sales. But now they have Indie Planet Digital where people can buy PDF downloads of your comics. So now you can make sure to, now you have a one-stop solution. You submit the files, you have books for shows, you have books to sell on your website, and you have digital files for people to read on their iPad or Android tablet. So very, very exciting. I'm very excited about it. I think, and this is something I got to earmark or dog ear for a future Thunder Punch Daily, I think a lot of people will agree with me that we're in for a big shift in 2012 towards digital comics on tablet devices. And I'm so, so excited about all these different services like theillustratedsection.com and indieplanetdigital.com, Graphically, Comixology, all these different places as being landing points for us cartoonists, us independent cartoonists, to get our work in front of people, because people with iPads out there aren't necessarily comic shop visitors, right? But they are looking for content, and there's one more avenue for discovery for all of us. So indieplanetdigital.com, and I thank them very much for supporting the bandwidth or the audio hosting for the show. So I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
There are times when everybody dreams of becoming very rich or powerful. But what they don't think about are the problems and responsibilities that go with it. In today's story, He-Man was tested, and he proved his worth when he was able to resist the temptation to use his great power for any selfish gain. He knew that it's just as important to know when not to use force as it is to know when to use it.